You listening to the Half Thomas podcast, boss. Shit!
Welcome back to the Halftimers podcast, presented by Raven 23 Studios. I am your host, Evan Hale. With me as always, well, we do have some news, don't we, boys?
You gonna make us do this right out the gate?
Right out the gate, man. Right out the gate.
I was gonna save it for Jimmy's hot takes, but whatever.
No, man. We gotta give the fans.
You can't do that to the listeners.
Yeah, man. The people that have stuck with us all this time.
It's not what they deserve.
It's not what they deserve, man.
No, it's not.
So let's just get it out on the table.
Yeah, play. Everybody put their cards down.
You know?
Be men.
Yep. Be men. We pushed everything to the middle here, man. This is for the big pot.
Yeah, this is. Everybody's all in here.
Everybody's all in.
Unfortunately, the river has just turned.
Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, this will be our last show together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck off.
No, we needed that. We needed that, man. Mm-hmm. It's a sad time.
It is a sad time. Yeah.
I will say, I don't plan on being done with the show in its entirety.
Yes.
I can say that. Like, Yeah.
Okay.
There will be some spots where I'm like, all right, we can push out some content or make some content.
Right.
However that may shape up. Yeah, I'm providing.
All right, we got
providing
it.
Providing some relief. Providing some relief to the listeners with this devastating news. I know they care very deeply about us so much.
Oh yeah, man.
I mean we're their entire world. So
yeah. We are. We really are.
Like this is really,
people hang on our every word.
This
man.
Is the worst thing that every listener has heard in probably their entire lives.
In their whole life, we just ruined their Sunday.
We might have ruined
Monday.
Some marriages out there.
I don't know about that. We definitely ruined some drives to work though.
Yeah. Probably more drives to work than marriages.
But with that being said, I will still be doing stuff.
Yes.
As far as Halftimer stuff goes.
Me and Bergie will still be around, but you won't see us as frequently.
We're like that bench bat on a major league team.
We're like John Cena and Brock Lesnar. We only come around during WrestleMania.
Part-time worker
making full-time pay.
It does suck, though, man. I am going to miss you guys. But I appreciate you guys hopping in this battle with me and joining in the fight.
Yep.
I don't think we would have been nearly as successful without you guys. So I just want to, you know, take the time and say thank you to each of you.
Yeah, pat my back. Yeah. I meant metaphorically, but that'll work too.
You know? we're a good trio of guys. We made it work, man. We built some chemistry.
We had a good run, man.
Had a great run together.
Such a good run. It was so fun. Like,
2 straight years of just getting it done.
Some steam got lost, and I mean, we're kind of all growing up, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, we've been doing this for 2 years. Life is continuing on. I have work a lot on the weekend, so it's just going to be tough.
You're getting married at the end of the year.
I am getting married in November. I don't think I've only done, 2 shows so far this entire year.
Yeah. Since the calendar.
So it's kind of me just being honest with myself and you guys.
Mm-hmm. Taking a look in the
mirror.
'Cause
everybody in this room deserves that much.
Hey, look, man, you gotta just be honest with your guys, be honest with yourselves, and that's all we can ask.
I wasn't honest for myself about it for a long time. I still don't think I'm honest with myself about it, 'cause I still don't want to just close the door on it.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I don't think the door needs to be shut all the way. But
right.
You can definitely leave a crack in it.
Yeah, there's a crack there.
Hey, man, you know me, man. I'll always keep the door unlocked for you guys, man. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'll still be doing stuff, making stuff, you know, getting some content out, some podcast out, and try to get some guests and whatnot.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see you guys, you know. We'll have this last episode at full strength together.
Mm-hmm.
And then
one last
kick at the can, and then we'll go from there. We'll see where the road takes us.
Yep.
All right. That being said, let's jump right into it. As you know, we start with unconventionals, but this time we're going to start with a different unconventional, a sports unconventional. Let's talk about our golf journeys, man.
Okay. All right. Let's do it. Yeah.
Because we've been playing a lot of golf lately, haven't we?
Yeah, everybody's been playing golf.
No, not too much.
No, golf is definitely a sickness and an addiction.
It is an addiction. Like, it's a very fun addiction, though.
It's up there with meth.
No,
crack,
come on,
heroin.
Dude.
No,
really?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, when you talk about the numbers, you know, dollars and then time away, that kind of thing.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely a commitment. If you're going to pick up golf as a hobby, like, you have to commit.
Yeah, definitely.
See, it starts off first, you're very passive, right? You're like, oh, this is so fun. I'm just going to come out here, drink. Who cares if I suck? Well,
I'm kind of having that.
You start hit. Yeah. It starts off like that.
Then you play with some buddies who are good.
You play for a couple months, and then you're like, you see some progression, and then it's you go out there, and then it's a day you shoot 110, and then you shoot 90, and then you shoot 98, and then you just wonder why you can't be consistent, and then you start hating yourself for it.
Yes.
I think that's where the disconnect is, man. Instead of you're worried too much about being consistent instead of just playing the game.
Give yourself a couple months, and you'll be fully engulfed in golf mania.
Oh, absolutely.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, to be fully engulfed in it, like, you're too worried about, like, you know,
you're not going to the tour, son.
Like, no, so, like, sometimes you're going to have, like, bad shot days, you know, where you shoot, like, a 110.
That still doesn't mean I can't feel like a loser.
Right. That doesn't mean that. And I get that's your competitive fire. But you also got to take a step back and be like, all right, I did some good things today. You know, it wasn't my best day on the course, but I did improve in this area right here.
Mm-hmm.
I got better right here. Mm-hmm. I just need to focus on this spot. And I need to, when I approach this shot, I need to actually, like, see it in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I need to focus. I need to not think about other things. All I need to worry about is just hitting this ball.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem, man.
That's your problem, man.
Actually the problem, because every other sport's a reaction to some other type of motion or person or something.
You just got to pretend like that ball is coming at you and you got to swing. You got to go down and get it, son. It's a curveball dropping off the face of the planet.
That's been my mantra as I've started in golf, because I've seen you guys, like, throw yourselves down the rabbit hole and begin to hate yourselves, like you said.
Yeah, I literally hate myself.
But my mantra every time I go out on the course is the word of the day is improvement.
Coach, every time I go to the golf course, I look myself in the rearview mirror and I have a conversation with myself on the way to the golf course about how it's all just fun. And then the second I get on the first tee box,
the second
that goes out the window.
Slice the face off the ball, and then you're like, I hate this sport.
Why am I here?
Why am I going to be here for the next 4 hours?
Hey, no. Okay, so that happened yesterday with me and Ian, because we went to Cajun Pines, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
banger of a course.
Jimmy looks at me like right before we even get in the golf cart, and he goes, how many holes do you think you're going to get to before you start self-deprecating?
Man, it doesn't take much.
I'll tell you how many. How many you think he made it?
Over, under. I'm taking under on like 3.
Mm-mm.
Ooh. Smash the over. Smash the over, son. He made it all the way to hole 8.
And then you lost it.
Oh, yes.
Bro, that par 5 ate my lunch.
Like, throwing the clubs back into the bag, and then it won't go in the bag, so then you just...
Then you're mad because it's just stuck there.
Yeah. So then you're doing like that with the club in the bag. Oh, dude, my bag is...
All the while...
My bag hates me.
All the while, that song from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, where they're like, I am a man of a constant sorrow is playing. And I'm like, that's about it. And I just, like, shanked a shot into the water, like into the crawfish ponds.
Get in the cart, son. We'll go get it.
Man. I mean, there's...
But that, okay.
It's the dopamine of the one shot. That's what I'm saying. It's like...
You're always chasing that one shot.
It's a dopamine hit. That's all golf is.
Yeah, because I've had some
shots. No, I don't think it's that, man.
It is.
It is, man.
Yes.
Well, because... Here's the thing, like, I like with that mantra of the word of the day is improvement, my drives have gotten significantly better.
Absolutely.
Yes, I would agree. Since the first time I saw you swing a golf club, you've improved tremendously.
Absolutely.
Like, at a very rapid
pace. I'm telling you, man, it's that mentality of, like, look, all right, we didn't do a lot of, like, I didn't do as good as I thought I would do, but I did do a lot of good things, and I am getting better.
You are.
You are. You definitely are. You couldn't. The first time I went golf with you, you could not hit the ball.
Yeah.
So now that you're hitting the ball,
it's kind of in a sense like taking baby steps with your golf game.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like you gotta kind of grit your teeth through the muck and grime, you know, and then you just gotta worry about hitting that sucker. Mm-hmm. You know, if you make contact, you know, that's all you need.
Yeah.
Even contact if it's just a straight runner down the middle.
Hey, 100-yard stinger's a fairway finder, son.
You know? You get that, man. I'm starting to figure out my pitching wedge a little bit. I still got to work on my irons and my hybrids. But that's something that I'm working on. Because that's really where all my shots are coming from. Like, every time I double bogey or bogey, it's because my irons are just dog shit.
Well, and three-putting doesn't help either now.
Nope.
Three-putting doesn't help.
That's actually where it
You got to work your way back from the hole.
That's what your frustration is?
No, I'm not a half bad putter. It's the long game. The long game is where I... Because
you got a 30-yard slice.
Because I have a 30-yard fucking slice, so...
Power fade.
I can say, too, yesterday I didn't three-putt at all. So that's a big accomplishment.
He didn't. Well, and the greens at Cajun Pines are like...
It's not possible to three-putt.
I don't think... I mean, if you...
No, it's possible.
It's possible, but like if you miss your first putt and you hit the hill, see you ball. You might as well grab the wedge back out the back.
You know, so that's how I've been approaching golf, man. Just trying to get better each time.
That was
It's kind of a phrase that I took from a hockey camp I went to years ago. Mm-hmm. Focus on your sevens. Work on your fives.
Yes,
sevens.
So like, say you take a shift, right? Mm-hmm. You have like a half decent shift, you know, and you're like, all right, I did good covering the point. I got the puck out. Mm-hmm. You know, I was very sound defensively. Mm-hmm. And then your fives are like, okay, but I missed this guy on the breakout. I got to be more aware because he's swinging right here. So I got to find him coming through the middle. And we'll be able to, and then I'll take his slot as we move up the ice. You know, so you focus on your sevens because you're like, all right, I'm still doing this right. So I can do this. I can continue to do this right. And in the while you're doing that, you work on your fives.
Can you tell me what the 7 and 5 mean? Just it's just a number.
Like out of 10.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, what does 7 stand for? What's 5 stand for?
You could take that into everyday life. Like you're like you could be like I don't know. So like say at Marucci,
I had a
you're like
day at work today.
Like say at Marucci, like you're really good at like working the register. You know,
nobody clogged the toilet
and stuff. And it's like, but you suck at restocking product. You know? So then you're like, all right, so I'm going to continue to work on the register, but I'm going to try to be more aware and work on being like, all right, this needs to be restocked. Let me go restock it.
I'm a shelf stalker now?
I guess so.
I'm just making an analogy,
man. I know, I get the analogy. No, great analogy.
Aren't you like the manager, though?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, man, sometimes you got to do the dirty work.
Oh, you do. You got to
be in the trenches with
your
guys.
This is right here is dirty work, what we're doing right now.
In the gulag.
This is dirty work.
The gulag, man. You don't know dirty work until you work in the gulag.
Yeah, straight
that's
up.
That's a fact.
But yeah, man, that's how I approach golf. Focus on your 7, work on your 5s.
That's good, man.
You did play really great yesterday, too.
I really hope you're able to maintain that mentality. I really do, because...
I think so, man.
I have struggled greatly with just having fun.
It sounds like you're a mental midget.
I think so, too,
on the
man.
Golf course, I 1,000% am, dude.
Because to me, like, there's one thing to be a competitor, but it's like, if you're not having fun while you're competing, then you're not a competitor.
But also, let's also
you're
say
just
this.
Making yourself suffer.
It's kind of hard to have fun when you chunk 4 iron shots in a row and you're actually causing
pain
to your body.
Right. Yeah.
But nobody can really get over that.
But it could be way worse.
It could be.
I mean, you could get, like, hit by a truck or something.
You could be getting hit by a truck.
On the way to the golf course.
You could be, you know, laid up in a hospital dying, but you're chunking shots, having fun with your friends on a golf course.
You're chunking shots, not having fun, but you're with your friends.
You're with your friends, man.
Yeah. One of the people I used to see way back in the day when I first started therapy, he had a literal stroke on the golf course. Jesus. On 9. on the 9th hole, whatever. I forgot what course
turn?
He was playing, so I couldn't even make it to the turn and had a stroke. And then he was like,
I guess he never played golf again.
Get back.
Oh God!
Yep.
I told you, meth addict. Same thing.
I just wish I could get back.
Trying to get back.
You just got
another hit.
One more.
One more hit.
And another good thing of advice I got was from Tony. When he came to golf.
He's the best guy to golf with. He's
just a golf guru, man. Mm-hmm. He was like, look, man. He was like, you might not get every shot. He's like, let me actually rephrase that. You're not gonna get every shot.
Yeah.
He was like, but you just gotta stay loose and just, you know, move on to the next one.
Yeah.
The trick is to have more better shots than you do bad shots.
Yeah, that's really it at the end of the day.
I mean,
I will say though, when I shoot one into the water, that shit sends me into an indescribable rage.
I mean, probably.
Or when I top a ball. That's been my issue. I would just say topping balls.
I would say moss, snails, and golf balls are probably the 3 best things to find water in the wild.
Hmm.
Really and truly.
It's a good take.
Great take. If you find snails, moss, and golf balls, water's nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up.
Yeah. And Muni's full of water.
Straight up, son.
I feel like Vo has more water now.
Vo definitely has more water. Yeah. Because they have that little lake that's in the shape of a snake that cuts across.
That is the worst hole at Voschamp.
That's 9, huh?
It's 12.
That's 5 and No, not 12.
You're talking about the back nine.
No, I'm talking about the front nine.
Coach, it's the back nine. I'm telling you.
The snake hole?
Yeah.
I'll pull it up on the GPS. Dick face, the par five on the front nine. They got the water on the left. Then you got to go around
that
it.
That hole.
Then you got to go fly the water in the pond in the front
that
on
water,
nine.
Well, you're a lefty, so.
Yeah.
It actually does kind of come into play for you. But I was going to say, for me, the water's not in play.
Never.
Ever. It's on the left side. The ball's not going near that water.
Dude, I tell you what. I went to play with Allie the other day, and I smoked my tee shot, and I was trying to keep it right, and it started fading left, and thank God for the dead cypress tree right there, because that ball was going to cut sploosh.
But you're a good golfer, Dill, man. I just think you're too tough on yourself.
Very tough on himself.
Yeah, I've always been like that, though.
So. No, well, and I get that, man.
Just hold myself to a higher
trust
standard.
Me, man. I know what it's like to be hard on yourself.
It's how I am.
You know how good you can be. You know where your potential's at.
No,
and
I can suck.
And then when you don't meet that, man.
Yeah.
It just jacks with you.
Yeah.
I know, man. I go there, too.
Tony was telling me the anger only gets worse because once you're shooting in the 80s,
you expect to be there.
You're like, I need to be in these 80s, low 90s, and then you go out there and shoot a 105, and you're like,
that's how I am, son. Because like, if I'm my average score right now is 86.
Yeah,
to
with 10 mulligans.
No,
Ian, we're gonna do this on the podcast right now. We're gonna do this.
Are we hashing this out?
We're hashing this out right now on the podcast.
We're hashing this out.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right,
Ian. You cannot tell me you aren't using mulligans and scoring a 79 and only been playing golf for 6 months.
Not a 79, son.
You shot a 79.
You shot
a
79.
Yes, and I told y'all how many mulligans I took with
how
that
many?
One. I took 3 mulligans the whole round.
Ian. Ian, look in the mirror, son. When you duff a chip, you can't put the ball back and act like it didn't happen, son.
I count those.
No, you don't. Ian,
okay.
I've been with you, son.
We're getting out on the course today. Come on.
I'm a count.
I do want to ask, because there is a rumor going around that you don't.
I didn't start this, by the way. I was not the guy who started this.
I heard this on the street. but I heard that you don't count gimmies as a stroke.
I also have heard this.
That's not from me.
That you don't count gimmies
as a
stroke.
Like I said, this wasn't all brought up by me. There were other people raising questions, and I also maybe lifted an eyebrow. I'm not in the business of telling names, son.
Yeah, no, we don't give away sources. I'm sorry.
Wait, so the situation is somebody gives me a gimme, I don't count that as a stroke?
No, you like say that you like putt one, right?
Yeah.
You're about to two putt, but it's like right by the hole. It's a gimme, and you're like, all right, pick it up.
So let's
They're
say this.
You
here,
don't count
let's
that
say
as
this
a stroke.
Par four.
Mm-hmm.
You putt three, and it's what say a foot or so. You're supposed to score that as a par on the gimme, say if it's a foot
out.
But you give it a birdie. Do you do that?
No.
Don't do that. All right. He says no.
No. All right.
Emphatically,
okay.
No.
I'm trying to get better.
Hey.
No, I believe you.
Hey, we're on your side.
Let me tell you this, son. I have been with you multiple times where you've taken multiple tee shots, and we hole out, and you say the score aloud, and I'm like, well, it's not a single because you took 3 tee shots. Two of them went OB.
Mm.
You're on the third shot out the hole.
So you're just saying that you got to...
Are they free out the tee? Let me ask you that. Are the mulligans free out of the tee for you? I just need to know.
Yes.
Okay, mulligans
if it's
free
off the tee box, yes. I have no problem with that.
All
but
right.
If it's in the field of play, I'm counting that as an extra stroke.
All right. That's good to know. So, all right. You play free off the tee. I accept that.
Am I a criminal for doing that?
No.
That's what I said. If you're playing free off the tee,
if it's in the field of, if I have already teed off and I have to take another shot, that is an extra stroke.
I think it's
for
just
me.
Hard for some people to believe that you're shooting low 80s at such an.
I'm not shooting low 80s. I'm shooting mid to upper 80s.
Yeah, he shot 88 yesterday.
Okay.
He shot 88 yesterday.
No, that's fine.
It's not like I'm breaking 70 every time.
We just want to know if you're counting mulligans. That's it.
Yes. If it's in the if I have to take a drop with an iron shot and take another shot, it is a fucking mulligan for
me.
But if I tee off and I shank my tee shot because somebody said something during my backswing or I had one too many swing thoughts,
I'm fucking taking a breakfast ball. Fucking crucify me, bro.
I'm all about the breakfast ball. Like, out of the first tee box,
we're on your side, son.
Yeah, we ain't fighting.
And either. I'm not counting gimme putts as a birdie. Like, if I hit it and it's within 3 feet, my birdie look is within 3 feet, I'm not counting that as a birdie. No, that's a tap in par that I'm going to pick up as a gimme.
All right. Okay. All right. Hey, yeah. We're on your side, man.
We're on your tee.
You're my golf guy.
We're on your team here.
I'll play one fucking ball today. Two, just to show you.
You don't have to prove it to me. I believe you, son.
Look, I've had too many naysayers in my life, so this is what it
was. I can respect that. Prove the doubters wrong, man.
Too many naysayers.
Lord.
Bro.
No, don't lord him, man. Prove him fucking wrong.
Look, I'm gonna pull up my stats right here. I'm gonna show you my average score.
Here's the other thing, gas him up.
He's gonna play the best round of his life today, too.
Yes, he is, and I hope he does.
Scores. All rounds, we won all 18 hole rounds. My average over 13, 18 hole rounds is 88.
The thing is, like, when you go play by yourself, people naturally aren't going to believe. Like, there has to be, like...
You got to have somebody
has to be with you when you say these scores.
There's only two rounds in here in all 13 of these rounds that I played by myself, the full round by myself.
Okay.
Okay.
If I play by myself, I'm more than likely playing nine.
Allie does not count. Sorry.
Allie counts.
No, I'm saying Allie, like, when you're... Because
Allie writes my scores down.
I'm saying, like, a confirmed score, Allie, I'm going to say... It has to be somebody else other than Allie, because she's your wife. She's your wife.
Right, but Allie's also, like, his biggest critic.
She is.
That is true. I have heard you give her the golf etiquette talk.
Yeah.
Because she criticizes you on the golf course, which hurts a lot.
And then she goes out and she can't hit a fucking hybrid off the deck, and I'm like, all right.
Neither can I have to tell her.
I'm working on that part of my game. We'll get there.
I believe you. I don't want you to think... No, son, I don't know why you think I'm attacking you.
I'm not. I just wanted
to bring up the conversation because I knew it would be good for the show.
See, man, and it sucks that this is the last show because we're really showing some great team chemistry right now. I just want you to know that, man, because only your true teammates are willing to have this conversation.
I believe you can shoot low 90s. It's hard. It is hard for me to believe that you've shot a 79 and an 82, though. With no mulligans. That's so hard for me.
No,
because, listen, and it's not your skill level. It's just I know how hard golf is and how long it takes to get that low. And I see a guy like Tony.
I told y'all, man, the 79 was with three mulligans. I told y'all that already.
Yeah, right.
But only three is still hard to believe for me.
And the only reason I took those mulligans.
Wasn't that when we played together?
What?
The 79.
No. That was the
one. You
were
by yourself, huh?
I was by myself walking.
You said, like, that's hard. That's just tough.
Yeah. I mean,
I know it. I know.
And that's why I don't.
We're not. Okay. Let me say it like this.
Does play better by themselves. That is also true.
Let me say it like this.
Better when they're by themselves.
Let me say it like this, then. It's not that we don't believe you.
Sounds like it.
No, that's not what it is at all. Because I've seen you golf.
But I know how good you are. I've seen you.
But what Berge is saying is if you're gonna do that, man, you gotta have at least one of the guys.
One guy has to be with you. One guy has to be with you.
That's right. So then I'm here's what I'm gonna do.
Because golf
never ever ever gonna mention the 79 round ever again.
No, you can.
Because golf's a fickle sport.
It wasn't a true 79.
Because golf's a fickle sport.
It was a true, 82? I mean, that's still, Ian, like, even like if you told
that's
me.
That's still nasty.
Yeah, if you
that's
tell me.
That's still nasty, dude.
It's just hard to believe that you got that good that fast, I guess. Because you, like, I've seen you swing it, and you are really good at swinging.
They're saying
it.
You're not an athlete.
I'm definitely
dude.
Not
Don't
saying
believe
that
them, man.
You are better, because you are better than me. I'll say that.
Here's what I'm going to do. The next time somebody says something, I'm going to just pull up my bank statements, and I'm going to show you how many times I spent $12 at St. Etienne's driving range. There you go.
There you go.
I mean,
I probably spent more money at St. Etienne's than I have at a golf course.
That's good, man.
And you are the best golfer at this table.
You are. But still, a 79.
What are you
is
making
like,
that face for?
Yeah, why are you making
you
that
act
face?
Like
it's
I
like
be,
you don't
like,
already think you are
you
the best
almost, you almost caught up to me yesterday.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't.
Did you have an off day yesterday?
The front nine, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was
like terribly off?
He was in his head,
my
man.
My first tee shot, I sliced the fuck out
you
of
wanna know what
to
it. Was,
nine.
Too? You want to know what it was, too? You was trying to prove yourself.
Yeah, to Noah. Yeah. I was trying to show out in front of Noah.
You was trying to show off. And who had to bring you back?
You did.
Yep.
Who's Noah? Friend?
Our cousin.
Oh, okay.
Noah's good.
Noah's he could pipe the ball.
That I have a problem with that too. Is whenever I'm playing with my buddies, I like to try and prove. Like when I'm playing with you and Bork, I want to prove my worth to the golf group.
I don't care.
I have that itch every time I play with DeVilliers or Tony.
I just want to beat my previous score.
Yeah, because you're not playing the other guys there. You're playing yourself at all times.
No. But and I will say this. I will say this to the naysayers out there. When me and you went play Muni and DeVillier and Logan played with us. Now, it could just be that this was DeVillier's second 18 of the day, but I did beat him. I did beat him straight up.
Yeah, I think
he played 9 before he played 18 with us.
I thought he played the full 18.
I thought they played the back 9 with Rhett and them because they got late.
That might have been just Tony, I believe. Whatever.
Fine. So who would you say your naysayers are? I'm just curious. I just put it out there for me. And don't say me because I like I said,
you can say Bergie. No, you can say Bergie.
Somebody says, I'm not going to say you didn't do it because then that's like me saying you didn't do it.
No, you can say Bergie because if we're going to we're going to golf together this summer, all three of us, we need to have it out in the open.
You can say me if you truly think I am a naysayer.
You can say me too.
And the only reason these guys are on the naysayer list is because they haven't played rounds with me. Okay. Sorry, T. Rhett, but
that's a naysayer.
Rhett is a naysayer.
How do you know this?
Well, because I showed him the score, the 79 with the three mulligans. He was like, "You're not no chance. I know how you score, son. I need to play around with you to me."
All right, so that's valid.
All right,
Tony was like that too, but Tony played with me the other day, and he was like, "Okay, that's kind of believable that he could shoot in the high 80s, low 90s.
I would definitely give you high 80s. Let me say that. I would definitely give you 80s.
Like, well, 80, yeah, that's his average score.
86, 80. Like, if I take no mulligans, 85 is my best round.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
That's acceptable.
That's fucking incredible. Not even just, that's incredible. Okay. I mean, another naysayer?
You, because when we went play Muni Sunday, you were like, "I'm counting your strokes today."
I didn't tell you that at all.
Evan said you were.
I knew you lied to me. Hold on. I'm putting him on the spot. I'm putting him on the motherfucking spot. I'm putting you on the mud because I knew when I asked him, I was like, "You made a comment to Ian about me counting his strokes today, huh?" He said, "No."
No.
I was like, "You fucking lying to my face." Lying to my face.
Because we got off.
And let me tell you, I didn't count a single motherfucking stroke.
We got off too, and I was like, "Hey, Bergie, that was four."
No, when you said that, I was like, "That's the next hole." I looked at Evan. I said, "You fucking told Ian, didn't you?"
You told him.
And he was like, "No."
Nope.
Because they were talking about it in the locker room. And I was involved in this conversation. But let me tell you, I didn't count a single stroke because I love you. And whatever score you... No,
it don't matter.
Let me tell you this.
I don't think he did, though.
You can call me a naysayer, but let me also say this. Anytime this subject has been brought up to me with somebody else and another person in conversation, I've always said, I'm not going to say he didn't do it. Like, I would never
say... He does say that. He does say that.
He did not do it because I've seen you swing a golf club. I know how good
you are. I did throw him under the bus, but he does pump your tires.
I know you can. I know you're good at golf. Like, I've seen it.
I'm all right.
It's still...
Shut up. Shut up. I'm all right. You shoot high 80s, you cock.
Yeah. I'd kill to average high 80s. I average 100. If my best day... Yesterday, I shot a 93 with 5 fucking mulligans. That was my day.
I shot a 94 with, like, but probably 7 mulligans.
I also am, like, very strict because, like, when I tell people what I scored, I want it to be, like... This is what I scored, not like, well, he might have had mulligans.
That's the thing, though. But when I shoot low like that, I will. That's the first words out of my mouth is like, I did this many mulligans.
I'm talking, coach. You hit it in the water. You're shooting on 3. You're not shooting on 2. You're not repeating 1. You're shooting on 3.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm saying that's how I score myself. Yes. Like, OB is the stroke.
Is 2.
Yes.
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 Yeah, I'm not saying you aren't doing. I'm just saying how I score myself. Very hard.
The reason why I keep saying yes is so I want you, not only you, but I want everybody else, the naysayers, namely, to understand that I am holding myself to a certain standard. Like, I know it sounds fucking preposterous that I just started, but like,
let me say this too. Like, okay, last when we went play with Muni with Tony and all them, I watched you twice. This once again, cards on the table. Duff a chip, move it back, hole out, say your score. And I was like, that's wrong. That's wrong. So I think that's where some of the naysayers are coming into play.
Okay.
But also, again, we are all there just to build our own confidence. So that's why it's like also not a big deal.
Yeah. I'm also there to have fun with the guys.
We're literally there just to have fun.
Well, you apparently are.
I'm not there to have fun. I'm there to destroy my own self-confidence.
Which is not how you should play golf.
No, it's not, but that's how I do.
I did throw you under the bus, and I'm sorry.
And I knew you lied to me because I saw your face when you said it.
Hey, look, as a man,
yeah,
I'm going to apologize.
You didn't have to lie because I wasn't going to be like, oh, why the fuck did you tell him? And I was just going to be like, I just want to know if you told him. Because when he said it, I was like, oh, he must have overheard us in the locker room.
And in the spirit of full transparency, as a man, I'm going to apologize to you right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so we can, hey, putting cards on the table, man. Yeah. If you guys are the guys that I'm going to go through this battle with in golf, we got to have full transparency here.
Just don't watch me swing.
Do you have a sitcom awe?
Oh.
There it is. Good
look,
job,
that's out
boys.
On the table now.
Look at that.
And you can take me off the naysayer list once again, because like I said, I would never just be like, no, he did not shoot that.
Because here's the thing, man.
I've seen you swing the golf club, and I know how good you are.
Because at the end of the day, man, the two guys that's going to want to watch you succeed the most on the golf course.
Right here.
Yeah.
Sitting right here.
Right here.
I know.
Right here.
I know. I know. And it's...
And the two guys that's going to want to see you succeed on the golf course.
Wait, let me say this.
No, let me get this in for you, Coach. When we go play today, I don't want you to feel that monkey on your back. Like, oh, he's... Like, he is one of my naysayers, because I'm not.
No.
That never was.
No.
Picture it like this. We're up on the ledge, and we're pulling you up.
Yeah.
And you're up on the ledge, too, and you're pulling us
what
up.
What I really want to do is I just want to go play around with my two naysayers and just have one ball on me.
Hold on. There's only one naysayer here.
Am I a naysayer?
No.
The other
two.
Tony and Rhett.
Yes. I just want to go play around
with
them.
Dude, there's no way you couldn't beat Rhett, right?
Yeah, I think let me walk that back.
No,
let me walk that back.
Rhett's been playing a long fucking time, and he took a long fucking time.
You know
off.
What? I need to take all that, whatever I just said, that short little statement, I need to take that back, because I've never seen Rhett swing a golf club, and he is, what, 38, 39 years old? So, I mean, he's been swinging a golf club for a while, probably.
Yeah. I just want to go play around with him. That's it.
Officially take me off your naysayer list, please.
You can keep my score today.
No, I'm not counting your score. I didn't even do it when we were at Muni the other day, because I'm like, why would I actually do that? I was just saying it more as a joke.
I mean, I totally get it.
Because like I said, golf is impossible. So like when every one of your buddies who just started like 6 months ago really playing says he scored a 79, it's like, how is that possible? Not necessarily you, but how is it possible?
I mean, I don't mean
you
to sound
best,
like a...
You had the best day of your life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't just have a freak day. Like,
I mean, but that's like when you're breaking 80, that's like, okay, you're not just good at golf. It's like you got something going here. Granted, you do also say you play from yellows too, which I like to play from yellows.
I make the game easier.
So
on myself.
Yeah, because the game's already hard.
I like to play from whites.
I never understood the playing from whites thing when you know you suck.
So when we played from the whites with Tony or with DeVilliers and Logan, I shot a 90.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I normally play whites too, because Bork's toxic, not toxic masculinity, but he likes playing from whites too.
I like playing from
whites.
I define
whites. If you don't break 100 on a consistent basis and you play from whites, to me that's toxic masculinity.
No,
personally.
I like to get me. I've always had this like mentality of like, if I'm gonna do something, I want to get thrown into the fire and just figure it out.
That makes sense, and that. But like also, if you listen to like. Professionals, they will tell you to play from yellow to learn how to play the game, and then you go back to white,
bro,
and then you go back to blue.
I heard how to score
when you're playing from yellow.
I heard a PGA golfer say, if you're just starting out, play from the fucking ladies tees.
Dustin Johnson, that's who said it. Dustin Johnson, he was like, whenever I was playing in my Muni course, like when he was 11-12, he was saying that his coach wanted him playing from yellow to learn how to score.
Yeah,
because if you're playing from whites, it's rare that. If you get a good drive, you're still probably not going to be able to score, because we all suck from 150 yards in.
Yeah. Which there's nothing wrong with playing from the yellows, I don't think.
No, nothing at
all. No, because I'm going to play from the yellows today when we go.
Yeah, and like I said, I prefer playing from yellows too, just because I already can't hit it long because I have a 30-yard slice. But
I like playing from the whites, though. I like playing from the whites on Muni too, because like you
there
can actually score it.
In Muni, I will say this, if you play from whites – or if you play from yellows at Muni, there's a lot of times you can't hit driver. Like,
yes.
You can't do it.
True.
Because you'll bring too much other shit into play.
Yep.
And it's like, if I'm going to get good, you know, if I'm going to, like, try to, like, catch up to where everybody is, man, I got to be challenging myself. And that's how I approach it. It's like, I just want to challenge myself, and, what I shoot is what I shoot.
I just feel like, though, like, playing whites is more, like, hampering yourself than challenging
yourself.
It's
an ego stroke?
Yeah. Yeah, it's more, like, golf is hard as fuck already. Why make it? Even harder.
Yeah.
Whenever, like, you need to learn how to manage the course.
I get that.
And then you go back.
I get that. Like, I guess what you're saying is, like, to manage the course-wise, like, you're feeling it out and seeing what works and what doesn't.
Yes, exactly. Like, you're
and then you go and chat. Like, once you get the challenge of understanding, like, what works for you and what doesn't work for you, finding your stroke, in a sense, your swing, I guess.
He still got my birdies app, 18 birdies app.
And then you go back to the whites, and then you can start working on the power and the things like that.
What you looking at here? Score distribution?
Yep. 76% of the time I hit a bogey.
I mean, that's not bad.
Bogey golf is fantastic.
37% of the time I'll shoot a par. 23% of the time I'll get double or worse. And then less than 1% of the time I'll get a birdie.
Can we end this on you taking me off your naysayer list?
He just said he did.
All right. I just wanted to double check because I didn't want you to feel that like that.
I just don't want you to be mad at me.
It's sort of a burden.
That's literally what
it is.
When
you feel like you got to prove yourself.
Oh, I'm absolutely going to keep playing with that chip on my shoulder.
That's how I screwed myself playing with DeVilliers and Logan, man,
because I was like, man, I got to show these guys that like I'm at least a decent golfer, but it was my first time playing.
But in reality, everybody sucks at golf.
Everybody sucks at golf.
It's impossible to be good at golf unless you
play forever.
Making seven birdies forever. In a round.
Yeah, I mean,
and you know what? I got what, three pars yesterday?
Yeah.
That's a big deal for me.
That feels amazing.
You know? Small victories. That's how you got to score golf, man.
All right, man. That was good golf talk. I'm glad we hashed everything out. Evan, I'm glad I knew you were lying to me. I just needed to know for sure.
Yeah, he lied to you.
He told me
in the first tee box before I even teed off.
I apologized for it. I thought we were over this.
You said it. I was like, there's only one reason he says that to me right now.
Yeah.
There's only one reason, and it's him.
I need to play more rounds with Rhett and Tony.
Yeah, you do.
I apologize.
I welcome the challenge.
I'm just saying.
Okay, all right. I thought we were rehashing again. I welcome it.
I want the challenge. I want the adversity. Because I'm never going to get better if I just keep playing and like telling them, hey, I shot this. I want them
there
to see it with their own fucking eyes that I can fucking do it.
There you go.
Be a grown man.
And I'm not a bitch, and I'm not like... You know, they make it sound like I'm fucking cheating my ass off.
As long as you're honest with your mulligans and your gimmies, then you're doing nothing wrong. And once again, you would only be cheating yourself if you were lying to yourself.
Yes.
But if you're not lying to yourself, then boom.
Does it make it better that I don't give myself gimmies?
That's why I gotta swallow my pride.
I fully believe there are days where I'm fine with gimmies, and there's other days it's like, no, you're putting everything out today.
Yeah.
Like today you're putting everything out.
Oh yeah, I'm putting everything today.
But like on a relaxed day where I'm just chilling or whatever and I just want to feel good, I'll give myself that 3-foot gimme. But nothing over 3-foot.
Yeah.
But most of the time it is, yeah, I've got to put it out. Especially when I'm playing with Bork, gotta put it out.
Mm-hmm. He'll make you.
Oh yeah, he
doesn't, a lot of meat on that ball, son.
He doesn't believe in gimmies. That's a great way to play golf.
You gotta play with that guy.
Right. Yeah, as much as it stings, man, you got to just swallow your pride sometimes and be like, I got a double.
I mean, I will be the first one to admit that I got a double. Like, I got a double when I was playing with you, and I said Michael Dublé.
Yeah.
Dublé, man.
Like, fuck, I fucking got a double. And then when we went play with DeVilliers and Logan, I made fucking quad on two, son.
Yeah, I made a quad on the first hole whenever we were playing. All of us at Muni, I made quad on that first hole, and I
hated yourself.
And here's the thing: we're all gonna three putt the first hole today.
I'm not gonna play. No way.
No, I'm not putting.
You were talking about when we go play today.
I was fired up. That's it. I'm not gonna play.
You're going to play, dude.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
I was just fired up for him.
So. You're gonna go play. We're gonna get some more fucking TikTok content. And you're gonna play some golf.
Can't afford it, man.
We'll figure it out. Don't worry. We have a plan in place for you.
I had to pay for Drake yesterday.
We have a plan in place for you.
It's all right.
Anyway, let's move on to a different sport now. It seems like we all got it all on the table.
Hey, do you feel better now? Can you tell me, do you feel better?
No.
No?
No.
You don't feel better at all?
No, because I want the people who are saying these things to be in the room with me so we can talk about it.
Do you feel better?
I mean, I'm even keel. I don't feel any better or worse about the situation because I know you lied. I already knew that, though. Ian thought I was a naysayer, which I mean, I understand why he put me in that category because I have had these conversations.
You had 1 foot in the door, 1 foot out.
Yeah, one. That's the perfect way to put it.
Because
I don't like when one of my buddies tells me that this happened, I don't like being like, no, that didn't happen. That just feels wrong.
Okay.
So I believe you. Going forward, I believe you no matter what.
All right.
And I will defend you. Not even just believe. I defend you too, man. I'll defend him. I don't care if he's not in the room or not. I'll defend him. All right, that's it. Wrap it up.
That's it.
I'll defend me.
All right.
Sorry.
I'll have my guy. You guys have each other.
I just need to play more rounds with those two, dude. That's it. That's all I need to do is just play.
Hey, bro. Let me tell you, it won't take much convincing to get Tony out on the course.
No, it doesn't take any convincing.
No.
He's there every day.
Every day.
You want to know? Here's a funny Tony story.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
So after the infamous 79 round, I texted him. I said, hey, look what I shot today. He goes, dude,
quit
we
lying.
We could go play right now for $200, and you would not beat me straight. Today was an anomaly,
advice,
son.
My advice to you is don't ever play Tony for money in golf.
No.
Because he will win.
He will win. I watch Tony play.
Several steps above.
Tony is my goal right now.
Yeah.
I want to be as good as Tony.
Yes. There you go.
Well, all right, man. That was a great talk, man. Yeah. I think that was very therapeutic for a lot of
Everybody
us.
Everybody was vulnerable.
We were very vulnerable.
Everybody was vulnerable. Ian, you did good. You did good.
I mean, I accept that I'm not gonna. Not everybody's gonna be on the train and say.
I think
is
just the episode.
They're gonna
want
to see your downfall.
Yeah, no, it's not that they're plotting on
my
downfall.
No, they're praying on your downfall.
They're not doing that. I wouldn't say that because they're very good friends of mine.
Yeah, and they're praying on your
downfall. No. I just think it's more of the. This motherfucker just started playing golf. Like,
yes,
there's no way.
Yes, that's exactly what
that's
it is.
That's all it is.
Here's the thing. I didn't just start playing golf. Like, I was fucking around playing golf before I went to PT school. Like, I would go play on the weekends with my fucking people that I would work with.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that. Okay.
Yeah, he would do that. He did frequent the range a lot, too.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. There it is.
I think this is just the episode, man. Because I was going to bring up other topics, but I think we were just going to stay on golf.
I think we've juiced it.
We juiced it. All right. So I was going to talk about LSU.
And another thing.
I was going to talk about LSU and their the women's team playing today on Sunday.
Championship Sunday, baby.
Championship Sunday. Mm-hmm. How do we feel? What do we like?
I like the TIR. Tigers.
You got it?
Are you okay?
Nope. That was completely wrong. T-I-
Jesus.
G-E-R-S Tigers.
There you go.
Man, that was
rough. Bum, bum, bum.
So what do we think, though? What do we think the ladies come home with it or
ladies
what?
Ladies definitely come home with it. I think they win 79-76.
Who are they playing?
Iowa.
Oh, that's true, because Iowa beat
South Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah, and South Carolina was probably LSU's biggest competition.
Well, yeah, because the last time they played, South Carolina beat the wheels off of them.
Yeah, they did. But here's the thing. When you got Kim Mulkey coaching you, anything's possible, bro.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible! I'm a big fan of homegirl, Reese.
Yeah.
She set the NCAA record for double-doubles, I believe, or triple-doubles.
Just working these cats. Working them.
It's just a fun team to watch. They seem like they got lightning in a bottle. Iowa's coming off a... Big win over South Carolina.
Trap game, question mark?
No.
I don't know if the championship game could be a trap game.
Yeah.
I think LSU's locked in for this one, man.
Yeah, what are they, like 36-0 or some shit?
No,
they lost to South Carolina.
Oh.
So they do have a loss for sure.
Yeah.
But they're top three in the nation ranked.
Yeah,
so.
They beat the number one team to get to the championship. So if you could say LSU's win was equally as big because they came back from 14 points down in the last quarter.
Yeah. I think that's just why I'm so – well, one, we're Louisiana guys, but two, it's like this team is just special.
It is. And, I mean, it's been a while since you've heard anything about LSU basketball aside from the scandal.
When we had Shaq and all that shit, man.
No.
That was the last time I heard about – the last time I heard about LSU basketball when it was, like, supposed to be big, Ben Simmons was on the team.
Yeah, well, I was going to say Will Wade.
Yeah. That was obviously pretty big.
Yeah, the big scandal for men's basketball, like when they made the tournament. Yeah. And they waited. What did they go to? The Sweet 16, I think?
I don't remember.
But, yeah, then the whole thing about Will Wade paying dudes mountains of cash to come play at LSU came out. And now Will Wade's coaching McNeese.
Isn't that wild? How do you go from
McNeese
D1 to what
ball.
Is McNeese D2, D3? Like,
I think so, because they don't even play UL anymore, I don't believe.
But it's like with NIL deals now, man, that would have been perfectly fine.
It would have, but you were one season too early.
That's so dumb. I feel like that's so dumb.
Yeah, literally one season too early.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just so dumb.
That's some LSU shit, though. For sure.
But it's like, I don't know. I guess it's just because he got caught. Okay. You know, because you're telling me other teams weren't doing that too.
Obviously everybody's doing their own form of it.
They just got caught.
Yeah, you just got caught.
Just got caught.
You're a bad criminal.
But go LSU. We're very proud of the Tigers, man.
Of the Lady Tigers.
Lady Tigers making it all the way to the championship. Win or loss, I'm still rocking with them.
Still rocking with them. But how about let's move to LSU baseball. Them dudes is on fire in fuego. They're like 26-4.
Well, who's homeboy Duga hit that?
Oh my god!
Hit the ball into the stratosphere.
That ball, I swear to God, that ball landed at a 50-yard line in Tiger Stadium. That ball was nuked, son. He hit it, and as soon as he hit it, he knew it, and like they changed camera angles to watch it go out the fence. It never came back into frame, son. It was up in the air that long. Like they were watching the outfield fence. And fans are just going nuts. And he's already on second base, and they're still looking for it. Can't find it coming out of the sky. It was ridiculous. I've never seen a human hit a ball that hard and that far ever.
Yeah, maybe. LSU's loaded, man. I mean, they got two top five MLB draft picks coming up. So
they have a guy who's hitting almost 700.
Yeah, Dylan Cruz.
Yes.
And then they got, what's Skeens' first name?
Yes, Skeens. Paul Skeens.
6'7".
I mean, what else do you need to say? Oh, man, son, he got 12 Ks on the first night.
Big country.
Country, ball. 12 of them things.
All right. And then that kind of segues into opening day. Anybody had any thoughts on opening day for the MLB? Who we like, possibly?
Astros.
You're a slut. That's such a chalk pick.
Right back at it. First at bat.
Second pitch.
Bomb.
Loser.
What do you mean?
Check that baseball, son.
Juiced.
It was at Yankee Stadium, too.
So oh, of course, the short porch. Yeah.
It was dead center, though, man.
Well, good for him, bro. There's a guy on Twitter who's dedicated his entire content to proving that people who hit home runs to right field in Yankee Stadium would not hit a home run in any other baseball stadium.
But that's, like, the fun of baseball, I think, because every stadium's so differently shaped. Like, none of them are, like, cookie cutter, you know?
We better stop talking about baseball. Y'all can make me want to go and play MLB The Show instead of go golf.
Yeah, you're coming golf. No, we can talk about baseball all we want on the course.
No.
Yeah.
But like, you know, you think of like a hockey rink and they're all like the same 200 feet. You know,
yeah, but you can
got fans all around, and then it's
set
like
your stadiums up to where your fans feel more on top of you, though.
Right, but that's like really the only difference. But it's like you go to like different baseball stadiums; they're all different shapes and sizes, and you know the distances are
like
a little bit longer or shorter. You know, like
Evan, have you ever seen a picture of Polo Grounds?
Oh no, my
God. That would make you laugh.
Yeah, that's a,
okay. So left field, right field pole is what, like 215?
Yep.
It's an old baseball stadium. It actually used to be I think they played football at Polo Grounds
they
too
did,
for
yes.
the Bear. I'd be lying if I said who. But yeah, like 200 feet normally. Yankee Stadium, I think the short porch is 314.
Yep,
it's 314 in right field.
Right,
take 100 feet off that.
Polo Grounds is 220 to the poles.
So like any ball hit anywhere near the foul poles is like out by hundreds of feet.
Jeez. And then, hey, take a wild guess at how far you think dead center is.
Yeah, dead center. Oh, yeah, that was the best. I missed the best part.
Best part.
Is it like 500 feet?
It's 5-something, right?
570.
Yeah, so you got 200. So the field looks
like,
the field looks like this.
It's like they put a full football field behind from second base to the backfield.
I think it was
center field
wall. Bears. I can't remember whose football field it was.
That's ridiculous, dude. This looks like a pinball game.
It is a pinball game. So if you're cranking stuff straight ahead, I mean, if
you can score, and there's so many in the park home.
So it's literally shaped like home plate in a sense,
pretty much
like a little house.
But you see how like left field's like. The poles.
So this is a home run.
It was way longer than I thought. It's 258, not 215. But yeah, still very, very short.
That's very short.
I mean, you're talking about like 20-30 yard difference, right?
Both
there.
The Giants and the Jets played at Polo Grounds.
The Giants and the Jets. Okay. Okay. Mm.
Well, that's interesting. Maybe we can hit a home run off of Polo Grounds one day.
You can do it in the show.
If it wasn't the last episode, we could.
If you can't hit a home run to left or right field at Polo Grounds,
soft.
Yeah,
you got soft hands, brother.
You definitely wouldn't be having problems.
Ain't on your job like I am, 85 hours a motherfucking day.
Well, we got about 10 minutes here, Jimmy. Last one for a while.
Another tourney, wow. Pouring a fork stuck in the road.
What were we singing earlier? What was the...
And it was all yellow.
It was all yellow.
Your skin.
What else was I singing earlier?
In color.
You should have seen. No. When I was grabbing the mic like this, and I was making love to
Creed.
The mic.
You're singing Creed.
What song?
Can you take me higher to a place where blind men see?
This is it, man. I can't believe we're just losing this, man.
I wasn't aware that Creed was a Christian rock band. I'll be so honest. I didn't put two and two together.
Lyrics.
Yeah,
son.
I know. It took me so long. When you hear that rock and roll, though, you don't immediately think Christianity.
It's like... It's like giving a baby a V8 drink and disguising the vegetables in there.
So, this is pretty good. Literally nothing better than whoever it was that came catapulting down for the Super Bowl while they were singing that song.
The Cirque du Soleil people?
Yeah.
In their little ribbons?
Angel?
Yes.
All right. Yep. Last time, Jim.
One last time. Spin that shit, DJ.
It's Jimmy's hot takes. Man, loud as fuck.
Fucking
loud
talk as fuck. About going out with a bang. Holy shit.
Jeez.
I don't even think I can hear you guys anymore.
Fuck. Should we all hold hands during this time?
Let us interlock.
Interlock. Wait, let me interlock.
Let me speak directly to all our listeners, guys. It's been real, mm-hmm. And it's been fun. But
this
most
has
of
to
all,
last 10 minutes, so make sure you
most
like,
of all, this has
out.
Been real fun, and I just want to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart. Mr. Engineer, man, you are the absolute best. You've been keeping us rolling.
I got an idea for Jimmy's hot takes. Jim, I hate to cut you off in the middle of that.
Cut me off.
We can reveal.
Face reveal!
The engineer.
Mm.
No, still keep it a mystery. All right, sorry, Jim. Keep going. Okay. Sorry, I'm
thank
sorry.
You. Mr.
I'm sorry.
Engineer, thank you so much for all the work you've done keeping the show.
Yeah. There you go.
Top secret security. He does.
The show's still going on, man.
You know, London Tipton's dad. That's who our engineer is.
Yeah.
That's who our engineer is.
Yeah, Mr. Tipton.
Mr. Tipton. Owner of the Tipton Hotel.
Yeah.
And the SS Tipton.
And Raven Studios. Mr. Engineer, man, thank you for making everything flow smoothly. I know this is a lot of time out of your busy schedule, but we just want to say thank you. Thank you also to personal chef, back of house guy. He's been keeping us fed, loving every second of every meal that he's ever cooked for us, from the meat trials to the mini Thanksgiving dinner.
That was awesome.
We've had some fun times on here.
The steak trials was the best thing ever.
Thank you, personal chef. You're the man. Grim, when we first started this in your bedroom with your cell phone, man, like, it was fun. Real fun. I'm going to get emotional here real quick.
You should.
So I just want to say thanks. It was fun to do it with you, man. I'm glad you're still going to try and keep some of it going.
You will keep it going.
We will be back at some point.
In some form of some way. I can assure that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But for the 2 years that we put forth on this show, from where we started to where we are now, been one hell of a ride, man, and I just can't say thank you enough to
you. Well, no, man. Thank you guys, man. Y'all didn't have to join this.
No, I inserted myself. I didn't really give y'all an option. I kind of was just like, yeah, I'm doing
this
with y'all.
Y'all didn't have to, man, but I appreciate y'all, you know, putting y'all faith in me.
To steer the ship here.
Yeah.
You steered it pretty well.
You did.
You did and steer it pretty well.
Big shout out to Birdman Jr., man, thank you for everything that you did.
The foot clapping
and letting us use your house as a temporary studio.
Yeah. God, so glad that sucked. I'll be honest with you.
Mucking and grinding in the game room.
It used to suck in there, didn't it?
Oh, it would get hot as fuck.
It would get so fucking hot in there.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We were almost ass naked.
We would all, four grown men crammed in there.
Man,
in
we our had list. Our first.
With 18.
We did our first guest interview in that room.
Oh,
yeah.
Remember
Ashley Langdon. Yeah.
Yes.
That was an experience.
Bruce Levine was the absolute peak of this, of everything.
Yeah, that was a pretty solid guest, man.
Bruce Levine was peak for me for Half Timers Podcast, 100%.
100%.
Yeah, that's our crowning achievement, I believe.
Yeah, that was so awesome.
That and in the live show in front of 100 people.
Yeah,
like,
the
that
live
was,
show.
That was very fun.
Yeah.
All the merch that we made.
Can we just live show? I was so fucking scared.
Oh, absolutely.
I was so scared for no reason.
Everybody was still there, that was hanging around watching the band before us. Yeah. And I was like, oh, fuck.
No, I think what really would really psych this was when we got there and there was still like 300 people there.
Yes. It
I
was
wasn't like thinking
packed.
It was like everybody go like hangs out over there on the weekend.
Yeah, no. And then we got a they had this nice little band like playing, and then we get up and basically we're doing stand up.
We literally did stand up.
We literally did stand up. Yeah. Like improv.
And then oh my god, when the guy said
F1 guy, bro.
The F1 guy, boy, I pulled that out of my ass.
Yeah, you saved us.
I pulled
saved
that. I don't even remember what he said. He said a name or something. He said a name. The gears were grinding for a few seconds. And I was like, oh yeah, F1 guy. Yeah, we know what we're doing up here.
Yeah.
Like that gave us some validity.
We had no idea what we were doing. That was a turning point for our show. Like that could have really ended everything for us right then and there. Like,
oh, we don't know about that, boys.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck y'all.
Yeah.
And now
look at us, bro.
We're closing curtains, man.
I wouldn't say we're closing curtains, but we're turning lights off on the stage for a little while.
Yeah, I like that. Lights are off on the stage.
All the equipment still be set up. It'll be here for us if we ever want to come back to it, but it's time for at least two of us to, like, you know,
spread our wings.
Can you take me higher? This has been another episode of the Halftimers Podcast presented to you proudly by Raven 23 Studios. We love you guys. We'll see you around.